Looks like we're covered. We're going to be in Psalm 23. And we're just going to look at verse 1 and see how it combines a sense of a relationship that brings contentment. So let me say thank you for being here and those joining us online. But let's go to Psalm 23. And like we looked at, it was Psalm 1. I believe this is a wonderful psalm to memorize if you hadn't already done so. So let's read it together. It's beginning verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, bless our time together. Thank you for each one that's here. I pray that your Holy Spirit will give us free course and a sense of fellowship with you that without you is a sense of vanity. We need you. I ask that you bless our time together right now. Thank you for the visitors we had this morning. Thank you for the effort yesterday. For we pray in Christ's name and amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. This is a familiar psalm that I would say everybody's heard. It's probably the most well-known psalm of all the 150 psalms. And so we're going to look at what I would call maybe a brief series looking over this psalm. A few years ago when we were over in the war zone, I brought a series and tied it in with the names of Jehovah. We'll do that a little bit even today. And we're going to start there, as I mentioned, verse number 1, where it just simply says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. In the modern world, what does it take to help someone to be content or satisfied? You know, the suggestions would be fame, fortune, possessions, prestige. You know, I don't know if it's true, but I've shared it with you before that there's a statement about Rockefeller, how much money does it take for you to be satisfied? And reportedly, the answer is just a little bit more. That may be true. I think a lot of people live that kind of idea. But nonetheless, Solomon had everything you could imagine. And yet he penned the following in the book of Ecclesiastes. So in chapter 5, we'll go over there, look in verse 10. It says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied. And then he goes on, they'll not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is also vanity. Vanity, simply defined, means empty or emptiness. In verse 11 says, when goods increased, they increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving beholding them with their eyes? So very simply, you can have everything in this world has to offer, but if you don't have the Lord, it's empty. There's no fulfillment. There's no contentment. So imagine, you know, when the Holy Spirit moved David to write this, there's about 360 primary gods in Egypt. We know when we go to Acts chapter 17, there's hundreds of gods in the Hellenistic world, and they were praying to them all. And Paul says, well, I've got one for you. That altar over there says, to the unknown God. So just in case they missed one, the Greeks come up with that one. And Paul said, well, the one that you're worshiping over there, I'll tell you who it is. And he preached the Lord to him. That little word is present tense. The Lord is my shepherd. So that speaks to eternality, unchangeability, also called immutability of our great God. And that word my speaks to personal relationship. The Lord is continually my personally shepherd. And so this word shepherd shows that he's the one who's responsible for every care that the sheep might have. And I think it's good to remember that David was a shepherd. So just imagine the shepherd is the one saying, the Lord is my shepherd. So he knows what to expect and what he has experienced and what he has done in being a shepherd. And I think that's an important part as we consider the 23rd Psalm. So we're going to look at it as first the validity from a shepherd. And I think it's wise for us not to take that lightly, that David really knew what he was talking about. That had been his life until he became a young man and ushered into Saul's court. But let's begin with Jeremiah 9:23-4. Thus saith the Lord God, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man glory in his riches. Practically speaking, that pretty well describes most men. We take pride in the things that how smart we are, how many degrees we have, what our bank account says, how strong we are. We enjoy watching strongman competition, that kind of thing. Then he goes in verse 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this. It's not how smart you are, how rich you are, how powerful you are, but that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So again, looking at that wonderful verse, the Lord's my shepherd. This is also a picture of one of the Jehovah titles. There's two forms of it. One of them is Jehovah Ra'ah and Jehovah Rohi. And that's the Hebrew part of it. It just means the Lord my shepherd. So it's the most central name that's in this psalm. And the whole psalm itself is basically picturing the Lord as a shepherd, giving us his shepherding care. So as it starts out in the present tense, that's another form of Jehovah, and that would be Jehovah Shammah, that the Lord is ever present. So these names of Jehovah are tied up in almost every verse, and we see two of them right now. And this part of it would indicate that Jehovah is also our creator. That means he knows each one of us totally. Everything about us, our good, our bad, our desires, our mistakes, our plans on what we want to do, he knows it all. And yet he still loves us. And I think that's a very important part of it. Jehovah is the one that, in spite of knowing all of our being, still loves us, cares for us, provides for us. Jehovah is also, David could say, my protector. David totally understood what it meant to take care of sheep and how you provide for them. And we get into the rest of the psalm, you know, lead beside the still water, and he makes us to lie down in that green grass. He provides for us. And so he's not only our provider, but he's our protector. And I mentioned provider first. I should have said protector. Remember when he was before Saul and Saul said, why do you think you could kill Goliath? And you're not exactly the biggest and the strongest and the most experienced. And he says, look, I was taking care of the sheep. I killed a bear and I killed a lion. What's this guy? God delivered me from those both. So he understands Jehovah is our protector, provider, and again, another Jehovah name. The provider is Jehovah Jireh. And so the Lord is again providing for us in many ways, but he's also our guide. You know, where he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, that guide part, it reminded me of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but especially the end of verse 6, he shall direct my paths. So the Lord is the one who leads us, and we need to hear his voice. John chapter 10 is pretty plain that his sheep know him. They hear his voice, they follow him, and they won't follow someone that they don't know. The next part of this, it says that Jehovah's my companion. And in Matthew, the end of the chapter, chapter 28, the end of the book, and the last of the chapter, verse 20, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So again, our Lord is, our Jehovah is our shepherd, and he takes care of these things. One of the verses I'll read a little bit later talks about taking the sheep and putting it around his neck and so on. But the last one under this part is that Jehovah's my comforter. When we get to Matthew 11, 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Then later in John chapter 14 and 16, he talks about the Holy Spirit being a comforter. So when you and I are weary, we're tired, maybe discouraged, we need to remember the Lord is our comforter. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Second thing, look at the value for the sheep. Very simply, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he's saying Jehovah is all that I need. The last part of Philippians 4 says, but my God, verse 19, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And according to his riches, that means he can cover everything that we need. So he shall supply all of it, and therefore he's all that we need. Also, Jehovah satisfies every desire. I shall not want. Everything that I could ever want, he supplies. In Psalm 37, verse 4, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I think that's a wonderful verse to memorize. And one of the things that you and I misappropriate is we just think, okay, God's going to give me all that I want. Well, don't forget the first part. Delight thyself also in the Lord. So if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, you're also saying, Lord, what do you want? Where can I serve you? What can I do for you? And you're delighting yourself in him. And as you do so, you can expect that he will take care of you. Jehovah blocks every distraction. I shall not want. There's things that tempt us. Remember when Peter was walking on the water, he was distracted for a moment, and then he sunk because he's looking at the results of the storm. You and I sometimes get too much distracted by the storms of life. We've got to refocus. Instead of looking at the storms, look at the Lord. And then also with that, Jehovah overcomes any of our discouragements. I shall not want. He helps us to rise above the storm and to look to him for our strength. Over in Deuteronomy 1:21, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. So this is when they're getting ready to go into the promised land after 40 years in the wilderness. He says, go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And there's sometimes you and I need to quote that to ourselves. David spoke to himself in 1 Samuel 30 and verse number 6. David was greatly distressed. Well, do you ever feel distressed? Things that really just gnaw at you? But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. They were ready, his own men that he had led and rescued and all that, they were ready to stone him because the enemy came in and vanquished their families. So they're ready to stone him. And it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So these are good examples for us to follow. So Jehovah strengthens my dismay. I shall not want. Again, John 14, 1, he says there, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Look, you and I need to talk to ourselves and encourage ourselves and use these verses to guide ourselves out of whatever doldrums that we're encountering. So Jehovah repairs all of my damages. I shall not want. Jehovah delivered me from damnation. Again, I shall not want. Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. And notice what he calls it, my strength and my redeemer. You and I just need to refocus when we're having these challenges and go to a place like Psalm 23 and get encouragement from him. So the Lord Jehovah has enlightened us from darkness and therefore shall not want. Very comforting verse that I use when I'm talking to someone about to have surgery. Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And there's lots of times in our life we encounter stuff that causes us consternation. So what time I am afraid, I'll trust in thee. You may have something you're going to face tomorrow or the rest of this week or next week that's going to hit you. And sometimes the worst thing is not knowing what's next. You may have a meeting, you may have surgery, you don't know what the outcome's going to be, what's the suffering going to be like. You don't know those things. And then the what ifs hit you. What if this happens? What if that happens? Well, quit thinking about what if and think about what is. What is, what time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in thee. So the Lord's my shepherd. And here's a truth that we just have to face. I'm just a sheep. So as a sheep, I'm weak. So Exodus 15:2 says, the Lord is my strength. So when you think about how much strength you don't have, understand if the Lord is your shepherd, he's going to be your strength and your song and your salvation. That's what Exodus 15:2 says. He's my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and, excuse me, I will exalt him. As a sheep, we're also defenseless. It's not very flattering that the Bible likens believers as sheep. That's not trying to make us feel good. It's trying to make us face the reality. If you know something about sheep, they don't have teeth like a wolf or even a dog. They can't protect themselves with their teeth. They can't protect themselves with their own strength, their own little hoofs. They just can't do anything. They're totally vulnerable. They need that shepherd to protect them. And so as sheep, you know, sometimes we are defenseless, like Psalm 18:1 tells us, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God and my strength, in whom I will trust. He's my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. All those phrases are descriptive terms of how we're blessed with protection. It's the Lord's protection that helps us. And so we ought to be so thankful. And as a sheep, we know the Bible teaches we can easily be led astray. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then it's repeated basically in 1 Peter 2:25. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So when it says the Lord is my shepherd, it means that even though we turn astray, he's there to lead us back into the path that he wants us to have. And along with this, as a sheep, it's easy for us to be bewildered. It's easy for us to be confused. And as a sheep, we're prone to wander. Basically, it was mentioned up above about led astray. In Ezekiel, he tells us there in 34:5, and they were scattered because there's no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field. when they were scattered. In other words, you're vulnerable and you're going to be consumed by the wolves of this world. So he encourages, stay close to him. And of course, as a sheep, we're lost without him. In Luke 19:10, he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And the last thing is the victory from the shepherd for the sheep. The Lord's my shepherd who takes care of all my needs. So again, the Lord is the shepherd. David knew this very, very well, that all of our needs are met in him. I don't want. The shepherd loves and leads the sheep, and we need to know that we're one of his own. This is what 1 Timothy 2:19 implies. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The shepherd knows where I am and where I'm supposed to be. He says this in Ezekiel, the Lord, that's another title, Jehovah Shammah. The very last verse, he says that the Lord, who is there, that's that Jehovah Shammah, that he's there, he knows where we are. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He knows what I'm supposed to be doing. He knows what supplies I need to accomplish his will. And he provides for my every welfare in every capacity. I think it's good for us to remember David as a shepherd. David is the man after God's own heart. But David knows what it was like to be a sheep and stray. He was supposed to be out fighting with his army, and he wasn't. He was back home, walking on the cool of the evening on the veranda, so to speak, and he looks over and he sees a beautiful woman taking a bath. He's the king. He can have whatever he wants. So he decides he wants Bathsheba, and he got her. And then he led in the death of Uriah, her husband. He knows what it's like to be a wayward sheep. Then Nathan comes along. And what does Nathan do? He uses an example about sheep. And it brings conviction. The first thing David says is, let that guy that did that be killed. And then Nathan, thou art the man. Wow. So he knows what it's like to be a wayward sheep that's really done wrong and gone astray. But now he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He knows what it's like to be betrayed by his own son. He knows what it's like to be disappointed by his children. Things that you and I encounter as human beings, David knew that. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He learned to overcome his own mistakes by going back to the shepherd and saying, I need the Lord in every capacity. So that's what we're seeing by way of summary when he says, I shall not want. All these wayward sheep, believers need the shepherd to supply all that's needed, and even as we're wandering out away. And one of the best examples I can give you is a real example from a sheep that was called Chris. Chris was a wayward sheep. He was down in Australia where they raise a lot of sheep. And he wandered away. He was gone for over 4 years. And I want you to see what happened. This is pictures of them. The top one is when they finally found this sheep. And he was so full of wool, he could hardly walk. And again, very, very vulnerable, and was basically good for nothing. What's sheep good for? Giving wool. Well, he had been out wandering and straying. If you've ever seen animals get caught up with sticks and briars and things in their wool, it just keeps wrapping around that. And you go to start shearing it, and you're running into all that. Well, over on the right, they started shearing him. Took him several hours for a guy that knew what he was doing. And once he got the shears done, it was almost 90 pounds of wool. And then it was good for nothing. They couldn't use it. They got him cleaned up. That was the good thing. He lasted a couple more months. And basically, the lesson we can learn there, without him, there's no hope for mankind without the shepherd. You and I are too dumb as sheep. And that's another thing it's not pleasant to talk about. But sheep are one of the dumbest characters in the animal world. They need a shepherd to lead them. They need a shepherd to guide them. They need the shepherd to take the crook and get a hold of it and pull it out of danger, or take that staff and break its ankle so you can put it up around your neck for a while. They need all these things. Over in Isaiah, we'll close here. Look at this verse in chapter 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. This morning I close with 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. It says there at verse 6, godliness with contentment, that's great gain. So the Lord is my shepherd. Everything you and I could ever want in every facet of life, the Lord Jesus is. We look for other things and we get distracted. We need to come back to the strength of this verse. The Lord is my shepherd. Consequently, I'm satisfied. I don't want anything. You know, every once in a while, off Facebook or something like that, it'll ask questions. What would you do if you won the lottery? What would you do with $1 million or whatever? When I look at all these things, there's nothing I want. You know, I love the old sports cars. I enjoy, if there's a rally around here, I enjoy looking at them. But to be honest, I don't have to have one of those to be happy. I just need to have the Lord, have fellowship with him, and follow where he leads me. That's all any of us needs. So this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you start thinking about stuff you've missed, well, I'd like to go back and do this over. Now just think about this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. And go back over what he leads you to do in Psalm 23. I'd like for every head bowed, every eye closed. Psalm 1, wonderful psalm to memorize. Psalm 23, a wonderful psalm to memorize. Let me encourage you, between now and next Sunday, go back over that psalm. We'll see there basically how to handle stress as we go through the psalm. Father, bless the message for your glory. Speak to hearts, especially those that have gotten distracted. Maybe like the sheep named Chris, we've gotten away from you and got the weight of the world embedded with our lives. We need to have it sheared off and get back to being what you intended for us to be. Speak to hearts, change lives, help us to honor you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.